Well, good morning. And will you join me in a prayer, please? Heavenly Father, please guide my words that I might speak your truth, and guide and direct all our hearts that we might hear and understand your truth. And we ask this for your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, Natasha kicked off our new sermon series, telling us how the little book of Ruth had impacted her faith journey. And she encouraged all to read its four short chapters, which, surprise, I have done. And I must say, what an encouraging account of how Ruth's honourable behaviour resulted in a good outcome for her and her mother-in-law, Naomi. I suppose it's also a bit of a romantic love story. So, ladies, if you haven't read it, do give it a go. And that goes for all you fellas as well, if you're confident enough in your masculinity. Now, this week it's Nigel's turn to select a Bible passage that's helped me as I continue to struggle to live. Now, I'm not saying that I'm permanently miserable, of course not. But I am saddened by my continually failing and falling short of the example set by Jesus, and that he told us all to aim for. And then I think everyone who is really honest to God must be aware of their shortcomings and experience the same sadness. After all, as Paul said in his letter to the Romans, chapter 2, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then they're good enough for heaven. I have to say to them, sorry folks, you ain't. In fact, no one is, because the standard required to gain entry into heaven is perfection and nothing less. Amazingly, throughout history, some have tried to make that sort of claim. Even during those 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry on earth, some humans, including this expert in religious law in today's reading, seem determined to justify themselves rather than face up to the challenge Jesus set before them. And to us as well. We are to love our neighbour as ourselves. Please note the first thing is to love or be at peace with oneself. That's a starting point. Now, I have to tell you that I, along with others who worked in the same company, became one of those who resisted this teaching. Arguing hard against another work colleague, Ken, who had come to a living faith, after being handed a little Bible text in Liverpool Street Station as he was about to board his train. His first instinct had been to screw it up and drop it in the nearest bin. Oh yes, in those days, pre-terrorism, rubbish bins were everywhere. But for some reason he decided to read it on the train. And he did, his interest was stirred. So much so that on returning home, he found the old family Bible, blew the dust off it, and started to read. And the rest, as the saying goes, is history. Gradually, I came to the realization that on a purely practical level, it made absolute sense that the world would be a much better place if everyone heeded Jesus' words and loved their neighbor. When you think of it, the difference would be quite amazing. There'd be hardly any policemen. There'd be no locks other than to keep animals locked up. There'd be no surveillance cameras, no speed cameras, because nobody would break the law. But Ken kept saying that we needed to accept Jesus not just in our heads, but in our hearts. Some describe this idea as the longest short journey, head to heart. Which it certainly was for me, when many years later, now in my 40s, married and with 2 children, I found myself in the National Heart Hospital in London. One morning, the consultant cardiologist came into my ward, along with the usual team of young doctors, and informed me that there was a problem with my aortic valve and that it needed to be replaced. Open heart surgery. I had no idea this was coming. And to me, this was like a hammer blow. I was speechless with shock and fright. Which the consultant, who was a very kind man, became aware of. And yes, he put his hand on my shoulder and very kindly said, "Don't worry, you're going to be all right." And he left with his team. Followed by my wife, who was also a bit shaken and wanted to ask some questions, leaving me sitting on my bed, feeling totally alone. In fact, at that moment, I don't think I could have felt more lonely on a desert island. I was so shocked that I couldn't even pray. All I would do was to keep repeating the word, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Not as an oath, but as a cry for help. And in that moment, I experienced what I can only describe as the peace of God. And at last, I'd made that shortest of all long journeys, head to heart. In an instant, I felt peace and was completely happy. My distraught wife returned, and I found myself reassuring her that all would be well. And so it is proved. Praise God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying life has not always had its ups and downs. Of course not. But I am now confident Jesus is walking with me I'm now confident Jesus is walking with this flawed and failing delinquent every step of the way. First, I can share a little story which might help illustrate how my attitude has changed. Some 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with bowel cancer and was informed by the surgeon that I needed an operation, which resulted in my having a permanent stoma bag. My first words on hearing the news were, "Praise God," because I had come to accept those words of Paul in Romans 8, verse 28. "All things work together for the good of those who love God." And I really do know it's the case. So here, and as Natasha explained last week, during November, each of we four preachers will be choosing a Bible passage that has been significant for us as we try to grow in our knowledge and love of God and share our faith. Hopefully, having heard of our experiences, others will feel able to tell us how some words in the Bible have helped grow or sustain their faith. From what I have discovered, everyone who enjoys a living faith in Jesus has a different story to share. From being raised in a loving Christian family, soaking up the love of Jesus gradually over time, like some sort of osmosis, to the other extreme where something really dramatic has to happen. Many of us experience something in between these extremes. But whatever it is, it's always good to share. Lastly, I'd like us to consider how this parable of the Good Samaritan relates to us today. Remember, in the last two verses of today's reading, Jesus asked the expert in religious law, "Which of these three do you think proved neighbour to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And Jesus is saying the same words to us today, "Go and do likewise." The question is, am I, are you, are we proving to be good neighbours? A hard question, I know, and not easy to answer. To put it another way, how would we behave if we came across someone who was injured and in need of help, even if it was a person who had wronged us and we disliked? I'd like to think we wouldn't just walk by on the other side. In fact, I think many people, when they come face to face with a situation where they can help, respond well. For example, yesterday, myself and Mike Potter were at Beaconsfield Motorway Services, manning the Royal British Legion poppy stand for a couple of hours. It was amazing just how many people stopped and contributed, and not just loose change, but folding money, and a lot of credit card payments as well. They were helping their neighbour. Unfortunately, Not all our neighbours who are in need are always visible or that well represented. You know, there is definitely something wrong in the world where when 1 in 10 of our neighbours, that's over 800 million children, women and men, go to bed hungry every night. So what can we do about it? Well, in today's reading, Jesus commended the lawyer when he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself," telling him and us, "Do this and you will live." Yes, but what does that mean? Well, I have an idea what it means for me, just as each one of you will have an idea for yourselves, for which, never forget, on Judgment Day, we will all answer to our all-knowing Heavenly Father. Amen.
Let's take a moment now to pray. Father, we pray for your church, for its leaders and for all who minister and proclaim the gospel. We pray for those Christians who teach the faith to children in school and Sunday school throughout the world. We thank you especially for your church here, for Sydney and Natasha, called to shepherd your people in this community, and for others who help them to bring all ages into the fold of your love. Bless them with your joy, strength, protection and guiding hand as they seek to listen and follow you. Lord, the Good Shepherd, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for your world. We pray for those who are going through the horrors of war, especially in the Holy Land and in Ukraine at this time. We pray for the leaders of those places and the world, that they would lead with truth, integrity, wisdom and compassion. Father, send a new spirit of love into the disputes between nations and races. Where there is suspicion, bring trust. Where there is anger, bring compassion. Where there is ignorance and misunderstanding, would you bring knowledge and truth. In all areas of war and violence, may your intervention be swift, so that suffering would cease and peace be restored. Lord, the Good Shepherd, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, as we try to comprehend the destruction caused by flooding in the UK, France and Italy, and the devastation caused by the powerful earthquake in Nepal, our hearts grieve. We pray, Lord, in your mercy, protect life and bring comfort to those who are mourning. Bring rescue and relief to those suffering loss in these places. Give them all they need to rebuild their lives. May courage and love conquer despair, and may they find peace and hope in you. Lord, the Good Shepherd, hear our prayer. God of life and light, this night of November the 5th, as we see fireworks sparkle and light up the skies, may each one remind us that you are the true light which the darkness has never managed to extinguish. May your light of comfort and peace shine brightly into the dark nights of those who are sick, mourning or suffering the pain of loneliness, old age or struggling to make sense of their lives. May we also shine our little lights in those dark places of people's lives by being your arms of love and care. And may they know the presence of your love through the love of those around them, bringing strength and comfort. We ask you now in a moment of silence to recall to our hearts and minds those that you want us to pray for, help care for, or support in some way. Lord, the Good Shepherd, hear our prayer. Living Lord Jesus, it is your yoke you have asked us to carry with you. Lift from us any burdens we are trying to carry on our own, or any expectations we are trying to meet that are not from you. Give us rest and lead us only to those good works that you have prepared for us, and help us to listen and closely follow you. Lord, you are merciful and a good shepherd. Hear us and bless those for whom we pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, and our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.